Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection Show here. Jeremy Moss, hang out with Chris Andres. And as always, MWCConnection.com. Facebook, you see I mixed it up there. Facebook is Mountain West Connection. Twitter, MWCConnection. And also, Greek Padre. We'll have our Twitter update later to get to 400 followers, hopefully. So, yes, here's the show. Week 7 recap.
Yay! And we're going to have like a, you know, mid-season recap, mid-season awards thing sometime this week. But
later.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's recap week 7 and more chaos in the Mountain West.
I know nothing. This representative of this league is the exact same thing in the national landscape. You see.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
TCU blows a huge lead against Baylor. I think it was what? 14 minutes left, a 21-3 score lead. They blow it to Baylor. End up losing, 61-58 or something. You see Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You see Oregon losing already. You see USC beating Arizona. Oklahoma losing. TCU. Alabama squeaker past Arkansas.
Hey, and also you have a new number one team in the nation.
Not shocked by that. I've seen a couple four.
Are you shocked by who it is, though?
Ole Miss, right? I believe. I haven't.
No, Mississippi State.
I apologize. I should have looked at the rankings. I thought it was
regardless,
Ole Miss.
Though, Mississippi State. This is your new SEC West team who's just absolutely dominating everything. And what's funny is Ole Miss is ranked third.
I think Ole Miss should be number one, in my opinion, because there was a quick poll on by Jason Kirk last night in SB Nation. Who's number one? FSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and then other. And I was looking through, I'm like, if you look who they beat, Mississippi State. Let me pause for a moment as I get all the autoplay here. Jeez, stupid ESPN. But looking who they beat, I figured Ole Miss would be number one. They have better wins. They've beaten a Boise's top of the Mountain West, Lafayette, Memphis. You know what I mean? Compared to Mississippi State.
Yeah, it's comparable.
Southern Miss is awful. They barely beat UAB. LSU's not ranked anymore. Texas A&M's falling like a rock, a 100-pound rock in the lake.
I
we'll just see. This could be the first time in probably, I don't know SEC history or Egg Bowl history very well, but we could be coming to a number one, number two Thanksgiving night showdown.
This would be.
Is that game on Thanksgiving, I believe?
Egg Bowl?
It is not this year.
It's usually on the Friday or Saturday.
Actually Saturday. But that potentially could be number one, number two.
Hey, Colorado State receiving votes?
Votes, yeah. We'll actually move.
We could possibly have a ranked Colorado State team. I don't know when the last time that has happened.
Probably 2000, 2002, when there was that three-way tie between when they last conference title. Probably, assuming it, obviously, Sonny Lubick roaming the sidelines, Bradley Van Pelt pegging the football off a CU player running for a touchdown. Pretty sure that was the last time they've been ranked.
And that, you want me to look that up real quick?
If you can, but that makes sense. When they played, I think it was probably when they were the champs of Utah, Colorado State, and
from 1994 to 2002, top 25 contender consistently. During that period, three top 25 finishes. So let's see here.
02 probably? Last time, I'm sure it would have been they had a
ranked 14th in 1994, ranked 16th in 1997, ranked 15th in 2000.
15th, okay. And I'm assuming that 2000 year they won, there was. What? Yeah, that would have been the Mountain West still, not WAC. They would have. They were shared title yeah. with Utah.
Well, 1999 was the first season of Mountain West, and that's where they had the three shares. So that was not. They were not ranked that year.
Okay. So what? When 2002, what did they finish?
In 2002, they finished 10-4.
10-4. They were not ranked at the end of the season?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, good for the Rams. They're getting close. It'll be a while. And I can already hear Boise State fans complaining. You got two losses, guys. Get over it.
And not only that, Boise State, you're going to have your chance.
Yeah, plus
I say this purely as a Boise State fan.
And it, you're not.
Because if they win out, they're going to be. There's no way they're going to be not ranked at the top of the bunch.
And plus, Colorado State has an issue against them. Boise State still has a tiebreaker. Boise State still. Them and Utah State have. The way, you know what I mean? They're the teams that to go to win the title.
Exactly.
CSU has the one loss already, even though it'll be crazy down the stretch. But you look at it right now, like, it's still come down to that final week in Boise versus Utah State in Logan, or no, in Boise, excuse me, Albertsons Field. You have Colorado State with the loss. Colorado State still has not played Utah State, and they still have to play Air Force, which could be tricky, but. It's right now still it's Boise State's and Utah State's division to lose right now.
Exactly.
And if Boise State beats Utah State, they already beat Colorado State, which is a good win, and they'll be 10-2 perhaps if they win out, win the title game, 11-2. They should be ranked heading into the Mountain West title game. Whoever comes to the Mountain West title game and there's 10 wins from either side, they'll be ranked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And wait, we're actually.
And let's go ahead and guarantee. Can we guarantee that somebody in the West will not, the winner of the West will not have 10 wins?
Oh, that's clear. Yes. But it took us only. Let's see, we're 5 minutes. Well, theme song pending. We're just under 10 minutes in because I'm looking off our timer before I had the theme song. We have not mentioned that your first place team in the West Division is the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
The 2-4 Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, by the way.
Yeah, 1-0 conference play, and watching. I finally got to watch. We'll get to the game, but the announcers, though, they're classic.
Oh, they're always classic.
The guy,
that's part of the reason why I was upset that I couldn't watch that game.
The guy, they didn't show him in the booth. Or I only watched part of that game because it's so late. Even out here, 10 Mountain Time, I'm flipping around, catching up on the rest of the games, and like I'm like that's halftime. I'll catch up in the morning, which I did, but.
I went to a concert that started at 10 Pacific time. Do not get me started.
Yeah, we discussed this pre-show, but he throws out the we multiple times about Hawaii. And it was the local broadcast, but Root Sports picked it up, so I just thought that was great. Yeah.
Screw your professionalism. Hawaii does things their way.
Oh, I have no issue with that. I hate it when people say that, like, oh, my team or we, when you talk about your pro team. Dude, if you're from the and then people say, did you play for them? I'm like, no, but they're my team. But more specifically, if I talk about a university I went to and paid good money to go to, I can throw out we all I want. I am part of that Utah BCS Sugar Bowl win or 2004 Fiesta Bowl win. So, yes, I will take credit for that. Is that fair?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, but you can say that. I think that's fair enough. Maybe not credit for the win, but, hey, you're a part of it. You can throw out the we.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get to the games because we're only at 5.
Let's get to the games. Let's get to the Western meltdown. Starting with Friday night.
Ooh, which game do you want to start with Friday night? Overtime or non-overtime?
Let's start with the bad game first.
So, New Mexico, San Diego State?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Aztecs won 24-14, but they did whatever they wanted to hand the game on a silver platter to the Lobos in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, literally. So, the final score of this game is not surprising. What is surprising is the fact that nobody wanted to win this game. San Diego State, with nearly 400 yards rushing, four turnovers, all four of those turnovers
four,
came in the fourth quarter?
Four straight possessions, four turnovers in the fourth quarter. So a bunch of fours there. Yes.
Yeah. So basically, San Diego State was doing everything to not win the game. Literally everything.
Yeah, and then there was a couple – it's before we get to the actually what happened. Cole Gallantry was trotted out as a starter, and I made a joke on Twitter. There was one possession, one drive. He threw more times that drive than the last game. He threw three passes, one incomplete, one of the dirt, one overthrown. Naturally, that's what he does. So I made a joke on that, and then they bring in Lamar Jordan, right choice finally, because I get what Gauchy does, because you can tell the difference when Lamar Jordan runs the ball. We both agree he runs it well, but not as whatever Gauchy does, he has some magic. He can just get the ball moving on the ground. Jordan's not bad, but he has to be just the number one guy. I don't get what Bob Davies doing.
But see, here's the thing about Gauchy last game. 3 for 6, 6 passing attempts, so he was 50%. But look at his rushing sack. 0 yards. You never see that from Gauchy.
Goose egg. That could have been part of it as well, but it's just...
Is he not feeling well? Is he not injured? I mean, what?
Hit a hamstring thing early on, so that's why there was the Clayton Mitchell and Lamar Jordan for a little while. He started the game. There was no indication because our guy Ron Carrion, who does New Mexico stuff for us, was at the game. I don't know if he's on the sidelines, but he's access to the game. He didn't mention anything about injury or anything, just got pulled. But it has to be Jordan because I get he's a freshman, but in the fourth quarter, I know we're jumping around to different points in this game, and we'll get to the Aztecs with their change of what they did very well and their change of quarterback. But in the fourth quarter, I get he's a freshman guy, but how do you not get any points or do anything? You're only down 10 at home. Okay, their home field advantage isn't great because the stadium was. Sorry, Lobo fans, but there wasn't a packed house.
Bad weather.
Yeah, not really, but with the Balloon Festival in town, do you think a lot of people would say, hey, we'll go to the Lobo game that night? Because that Balloon Festival
we'll get to that.
World
we'll
class.
What I said about that game. But anyway, on the next game.
Well, they go. Here they go. Really quick, their fourth quarter. Their first possession after the Cranston Jones pick, 3-and-out, the fumble by Pumphrey. They go for them 4th and 23. Or no, excuse me, they punt, sorry. Another 3-and-out. And then they got picked off. So their first three possessions, 3-and-out, 3-and-out, interception by Lamar Jordan. And then they have to punt again on their last possession of the game. It's like, and then the Lobos just ran out the clock. But it's like, come on, New Mexico. You can move the ball okay. Well, maybe not that night, but you had 4 chances to get points. Aztecs were terrible, too many penalties. You're +3 into turnover margin. The running game was reasonably okay. Not what it is, but they had their chances. And the Aztecs, not that they're lucky, but, dude, that fourth quarter, bad stuff could have happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
And was there any word about, because as for the Aztecs, Nick Bowden got pulled from this game? Because, dude, needs some work, man. Not everything's on him, but receivers, Eric Judge, catch the dang ball, man. On the first couple possessions, he's dropping passes. Everybody's dropping balls, but Kaylor came in, went 1 for 3. They didn't need to throw the ball, man. Kaylor's hurt. It's like, screw it. We'll just hand it off to Pumphrey and Chase Price the whole game.
And hey, whatever worked, right? It just...
That 93-yard touchdown by Pumphrey was amazing. He's like, man, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Nobody's going to catch me. 20 for 246, man. Who does that?
Who was the Wisconsin running back earlier this year?
Oh, Mel Gore?
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon. Yeah, that's similar numbers. Pumphrey, even if you take away that 93 yards, that's still 19 for like 150. That's what Chase Price did. I don't know. Aztecs won. Were you all impressed with Aztecs that much? Or
Not at all. Like, they just looked very, very poor.
They could run the ball, but when they needed the pass.
They can run the ball, but New Mexico can't stop the run. They've got one of the worst ranked defenses, rush defenses, which is funny because they're primarily rushing offense. You'd think they know how to stop the run.
You would think so. I think anytime they had the throw, they couldn't do it. Also,
those 397 yards, you would have expected that the Aztecs won by more. And what happened was that back in the fourth quarter, where all those 4 turnovers happened, actually, theoretically, all 5 of those turnovers, because I'm including New Mexico's in there.
Yeah.
When all those turnovers happened...
That's every turnover for the whole game. There's 5 total.
within the New Mexico 30-yard line.
Yeah. even if San Diego State kicks field goals, this would have been a blowout in the last possession. Add on 12 points, it's 38-14. And we're saying, okay, they won, they dominated, which theoretically they did on the ground, but they're... The West is going to be a joke. Not a joke, but the West is a mess. I don't know what... We don't know. Like I said earlier in the show, we don't know what's going to happen.
My best guess right now is that Fresno State holds a tiebreaker over San Diego State, but I have a feeling that Nevada is going to beat them both, and Nevada will probably be your winner. But at the same time, UNLV could randomly win some more games and spoil everybody's nights. So while we're on that subject, should we say
next game.
UNLV spoiling Fresno State's night on UNLV's homecoming. Once again, very, very upset that I missed this game. Because me, logical, like probably most other Rebel fans who would normally go to the game, was like, oh, this game's going to start at 7:30. It's after work. They're 1-5 right now. They lost to San Jose State by 23 points. Oh, by the way, San Jose State, another team that could easily win the West.
Yeah.
There is no way UNLV is going to win this game. There's no way that Fresno State's not going to cover
and
half spread.
Yeah, and Fresno State's won 3 in a row.
There was no reason for me to go to the game. I missed the game. I watched it online. I watched it on TV. And, well, hell.
You couldn't head down there at halftime? Well, I guess they're up 17-0 at halftime. I'm just saying, you could have got a halftime.
Do you know how long it is from a drive for me to get there?
I do not know, no.
When I was in Riverside, it took me an hour to drive to the Rose Bowl. It would take, from where I live right now to Sandpoint Stadium, it would take me anywhere between 35 and 45 minutes.
Okay. I'm just saying, it was 17-0 with about 10 minutes left in the halftime. I'm not going to judge. So, but this game, what the heck happened to UNLV? How does this happen? Is it Fresno's Blake Decker amazed showed up tonight, and there's still the mystery of Shaquille Murray Lawrence who shows up and gets a touchdown.
But Keith Whiteley is the leading carrier, which he should be anyway.
Yeah, he should be. And Murray Lawrence was big in the passing game, 5 for 48.
Ready for my conspiracy theory?
What? What is it?
Penny Vale was back on defense.
Interesting. I didn't catch that. I flipped about back and forth, so I probably didn't see it. But also, Murray Lawrence was not listed on the depth chart, and I'm sure Paya wasn't as well. And not that it matters, but I usually want coaches to be somewhat honest in that, right?
Sure. Game time decision, though.
Because it's just the turnovers Fresno had the first half. The second half, Fresno made an attempt to come back, but...
Also, Fresno State special teams. They're pretty bad.
Well, yeah, look at the, kick returns didn't help either for what Jay Mitchell's able to do.
No. I mean, that doesn't seem like a lot, but twice they kicked it out of bounds.
Yeah, I must not have missed that time looking returns. Yeah, out of bounds, they could put it to 35 short fields. And not that I'm speechless in this game that UNLV played so well, but I expected them, when it was 17-14, I fully expected
UNLV to melt down?
Oh, naturally. UNLV is like, oh, they're done. They're not going to do this. Their comebacks, they're getting 17-0. They give up 14 straight points. Fresno's going to just end up winning this game in the fourth quarter, maybe 21-17 or something like that. But no, UNLV gets the ball after being down 14 up 14 straight points, goes down and scores in a couple plays and goes up 24-14. And I was very shocked by that. And it's three big plays. You got the big Devontae Boyd, who, and remember, Rebels are not having Devontae Davis either. He's out. So Devontae Boyd stepped up. Anthony Williams had a good play, and then Blake Decker had a nice 11-yard run. And that's one of the kickoffs you mentioned, went out of bounds. And UNLV started up the 35-yard line.
I'm so confused. I'm. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And this still keeps UNLV in the bowl game running.
They have to win 7 games. Remember,
they do have to win 7 games.
They have to go 7-6.
Yes, that's 5 wins. But seeing as they beat theoretically a top team in the West Division,
Do we have to say top team? Can we say how about division leading team? That's better division than top leading team.
Yes, sure.
No, UNLV's not going to bowl game. They play Utah State on the road. Loss.
Yeah.
They host Air Force. Loss. They go to BYU. I'll go loss. I'll still say loss. And then maybe Hawaii to win. Nevada. No, they're not. This is a good win, no doubt, for the program, especially not melting down, which we fully most people would have expected in that third quarter.
So but, 4 wins.
Man, maybe
4 wins save Bobby Houck's job for another year.
I think so. Yeah, it's a step back, but they got blown out. But if they turn around and beat, they can probably beat New Mexico. They can probably beat Hawaii. If they can sneak out a win versus Air Force, 5-7, that'll be fine. I think he needs 4 wins to stay. He just got an extension buyout. They may have to keep him for at least one more year just because of that. But it's not like Fresno played. Yeah, there's the special team issues, but they Brian Burrell reasonably well, 310 yards. Martez Waller had it pretty well. So Josh Harper had a huge game. It just came too late. They got that huge hole they could have come out of.
17 carries for 137 yards. Yeah. So it's just, think of, like, literally, Fresno State played well enough to win.
Slow but start.
But UNLV played even better. And you want to know my second bonehead move of the night?
What was that?
How about not trusting in Cody Kronig to even go for a field goal? Going for it on 4th and 3 instead of taking the potential points in overtime.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention. Sorry, this is overtime as well. We buried that. This is overtime. Yeah, Fresno came back to tie it, and UNLV came back to tie it. After Fresno took a lead on their own, field goal by UNLV. Not an easy field goal, 46-yard field goal. That's tough to beat.
And this is a game. And this is a game where UNLV could have won in regulation. UNLV was sitting on the 15-20-yard line. I forget exactly where. Jonathan Leva wanted the spot left on the left hashtag, and he shanked it. And that was to finish the game to go into overtime.
That's right. You missed the.
They could have won. In overtime.
How far was that field goal?
If you're Fresno State, how do you not take the easy points? Or, well, I guess when you're kicking, there's no such thing as easy points. But how do you not take a fourth down decision, you know, fully well knowing that you're the first guys on offense?
Not just that, but, yeah, hold on. That field goal, jeez, I didn't realize it was that close. 26-yard field goal. Oh, man, that's got to. Another reason, surprisingly, UNLV didn't just blow the game. We missed a field goal. How close? And they still pulled the victory?
But UNLV has 2 kickers, so.
They did. They had multiple guys back there. But come on, Fresno. Is this right? 4th and 17 at the 18-yard line? Is that accurate?
No.
That doesn't seem right, because.
Should be 4th and 3.
Yeah, for Fresno State, I'm looking at, thanks ESPN, 1st and 10, incomplete pass. Loss of 3, so it's. Oh, yeah, they screwed this up big time here. Jeez, what did they do here? Because it goes 2nd and 10, 3rd and 13. Yeah, it should have been 4th and 9. I don't know where they got that from. Still, 4th and 9 to 18, kick a field goal. Get points. Because what it does for, if you kick no points, UNLV could kick on first down and win the game on a 42-yarder.
Yeah, the way I look at it is this. It looks worse to go for it on a 4th and 9 and not even come close to making it instead of missing a field goal and at least attempting the field
goal. You had points. You had points right there. Take the points. You already know UNLV missed a 26-yarder just before. So if you think about it, if you could stop them from, even if you give them a first down, there's no guarantee that UNLV Leva, or if they go to Nicola Bornard, whoever they go with, there's no guarantee. You have in the back of your mind, okay, he missed a field goal. If they try out Leva again, it's like, well, maybe he'll miss this one. It's only 30 yards. It's 4 yards longer.
You know what I mean? I mean,
it's a good one for UNLV, but Fresno, Tim DeRuiter, or Dave, whoever's calling the plays, Dave Schramm, what are you doing? You got to think about that stuff. They have no faith in their kicker. He attempted 0 field goals. He did miss an extra point, so there's that, too, that could have cost him the game as well. Make the extra point, they missed, too. it could have may not have come down to this. It could have UNLV would have needed to kick that game winning field goal, perhaps. Oh, either way, game winning, but to force overtime if they didn't miss an extra point for Fresno.
Yep.
So do you still? Because the weird thing is, like I said, Fresno still owns the tiebreaker. Essentially, they beat San Diego State already.
Yes, they own the tiebreaker, unless somehow UNLV wins out.
More
than San Diego State holds the tiebreaker over UNLV.
So we got the West. What's going on here? Is it who? Is it still Nevada, or is there still any way San Jose State could do something? Because they're still. They haven't really played anybody to. Of note, they played Nevada pretty good. You know what I mean?
Here's San Jose State's loss against
San Jose State, Auburn, and Minnesota.
They lost to Nevada.
And Nevada.
So Nevada holds. So basically, what would have to happen? Well, Nevada has two conference losses. San Jose State only has one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So San Jose State could theoretically win out and win the conference.
Because Nevada's lost. Yeah,
outright.
Since it's not division.
Division.
Because Nevada has the pleasure of playing Boise and Colorado State from the Mountain Division and Air Force. Jeez. They play. Oh, that's tough. Yeah, so they. So San Jose. Because I kind of think. I think I like Joe Gray. I like what San Jose State's done. Their running game's finally getting on track. They played Nevada close. The rest of the way, it'll be tough because they go to San Diego State, they go to Utah State. Who knows what Fresno's going to be, but. There's a chance San Jose State could make some noise.
Yeah, it'd be very, very...
Put it this way, I don't think either of us would be surprised.
Right? No. No, honestly, at this point, the only surprise
Hawaii
I could be out of the West...
Technically? Sorry, let's check that. Hawaii is in the driver's seat for the West. They are undefeated in the conference play.
All right, let's go to Saturday's game.
They got zero losses, I'm just saying. They're 1-0.
So, Utah State, definitely back on track after suffering some strange losses.
Let me back up here. How mad are you at your Boise State Broncos now for blowing that game versus Air Force?
Extremely.
I still say Air Force played an amazing game. It wasn't all Boise State just screwing up every play, but... Dude, Air Force, what that game was like the game of the of their lifetime, it seemed like, in the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But this game, I hate, watch this game, so what, CBS, no, this is the ESPNU game, yeah. So I got my DVR set up, I know I'm going to be late to start the game. I come in, oh, thanks, the game, it's on ESPN3, so I missed the first 14 points. I'm like, thanks. And it's just, but Utah State pretty much dominated. So many tackles. Nate Vigil had like 21 tackles.
Yeah, 21 tackles.
His brother had, 16?
He had
16
five
tackles?
Rushes for 10 yards, but one touchdown.
Yeah, he had a touchdown. He ran the ball again. There was a minor scare on Air Force as like Cale Pearson left for a little bit, but Nick Vigil. Oh, dude, I must have missed this or dozed off. Nick Vigil, did you mention his two passes just now?
No, I did not.
Two for two.
Two for two.
Two for two.
Place? Is Nick Vigil competing for the starting quarterback position as well?
No, two for two.
He's becoming more versatile than Hawaii's Scott Hardy.
There's a good chance in that. It's Vigil, he's just amazing what he does. But actually, I think here's the game I'd love to see. Well, we'll get to finish the game up, but how good is Hunter Sharp?
Very, very good.
He has 400-yard receiving games, how many games did they play? Excuse me, five. Four in a row. He's just another.
I'm going to say this. So Hunter Sharp is a freshman, correct?
Hunter Sharp?
Yeah.
No, junior college transfer. He's a junior.
He's a JUCO transfer. Okay. Hunter Sharp does not get the stats he gets with Chucky Keaton at quarterback.
True, because the Tennessee game.
And the reason why I say this is just naturally, it's natural chemistry, natural team progression. You know, Chucky Keaton would be more comfortable to throwing to JoJo Natson and Joe Hill, you know. But Hunter Sharp, like you said, JUCO transfer, newer guy. Daryl Gerritsen started some of last year, but he's still a relatively newer guy. I think that Daryl Gerritsen, Hunter Sharp, I think the two of them have a natural team chemistry that is allowing them to just blow these statistics out of the water.
It did. Look at his first game versus Tennessee, 2 for 37. I don't recall why he got no statistics in Idaho State game, but it started the Wake Forest game. Trekkie goes out at halftime. I would have to look to see every catch he caught in that game, but he was 12 for 138 in the Wake Forest game. 9 for 130 Arkansas State, 5 for 73 versus BYU. He has 3 touchdown receptions. Or, excuse me. Yeah, these are all touchdown receptions. 81, 72, and 75. And that's just looking at his long. He might have equal.
He's got more.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, more. But, yeah, I mean, touchdowns. Like, he has a 31-yard versus Wake. I'm just looking at the game long on his box score. But him and Rashard Higgins, when those two teams play, if the passing game's on, that'll be a game to watch.
That's going to be a fun game.
But Air Force mandate. Utah State did what because I made a point before. How did Wyoming hold them to, I think, was it 1.7 yards per carry? Utah State nearly did the same thing, only 155 yards on the ground.
Right. Jacoby Owens, 54 yards. Cale Pearson, 43 yards.
And Owens, half of it was on one run, 27.
Exactly. So, I mean, Utah State was just shutting, you know,
Nate Vigil, shut Zach
Air
Vigil,
Force's
Larson.
Rushing down. Something that Boise State did, well, Boise State shot themselves in the foot by just turning the ball over and over again. But that's what you have to do against Air Force is you have to force them to create the turnovers, and that's what was going on.
Yeah, plus
4 turnovers committed by Air Force.
Yeah, they had one of them, the bad one. I feel sad. It happened twice, I think, a couple times this year. Like the Houston-UCF game, the touchback fumble.
Yes.
Those are unfortunate. Like, we're going to score. Oh, no, we're not. It's like, oh, those got to be the worst thing. You get nothing out of it. It's like, it's almost as bad as giving up a fumble for a touchdown, it seems like. It's like, because when it's a touchback, you are so close to getting your own touchdown. Utah State didn't take advantage of score off that, but they were, Utah State, they're finding their groove, and they're doing their thing, and they...
It's going to be nice for end of November matchup, assuming everything goes to plan.
I think we need to restructure plans to make a road trip to that game, possibly.
I might not. That's Thanksgiving that week.
Oh, damn. It's just Thanksgiving. I'm kidding.
You're a horrible person.
Okay, how about we make an attempt at the title game, perhaps?
That's very possible.
And cross my fingers, it's a Logan, because that's only 2 hours for me. Sorry, I know it's much longer for you.
Well, everybody knows it's going to be in Las Vegas.
they're no, it's not going to happen.
They revisited the neutral site game.
Yeah, I'd be neutral even if Rebels host it. So yeah, if they're in the stadium, it's so with this game, Air Force, it can't just take away the turnovers because they responded in the second half. They made a comeback, but again, Utah State, both Vigil guys, Zach and Nick did their thing. BJ Larson, Brian Sweets, all over hurting people on the back secondary. I don't have to say Utah State. Who's your favorite? And is it still CSU in the Mountain Division, or is it?
Well, you're going to completely call me biased. I'm going to go ahead and say
still Boise State.
It's still Boise State. Because Boise State holds the tiebreaker over Colorado.
No, that's not the question I ask. I get that they are in prime position because they beat right. CSU, but who is the best team right now?
I'll go. Utah State or...
Or CSU?
Yeah.
Have you voted in the poll yet this week?
Yes, I did.
Who did you vote?
Colorado State was ranked my number 2 team.
Let me pull it up real quick.
Are we talking about
our Mountain West
poll? Oh, no, I have not voted in our poll yet.
Jeez, you are. No, kidding. I am. Let me check out our early responses on that.
So, okay, but in the meantime, Air Force fans shouldn't be kind of taking away from this that, you know, they're not as good as they thought they were. I mean, I still think that Air Force is a very good team. I think assuming that they can win over New Mexico this week, which they should be able to, and Army next week, they'll have a Commander-in-Chief's trophy. And November 1st, they should be bowl eligible.
And they won 2 games last year as well, folks.
Yeah.
They've
this
already
is a team
that.
Went 2-10 last year.
Yeah, and won 1 Mountain West game or 0?
1, I think.
I know they beat Nicholls State. I think they beat New Mexico.
I think they beat New Mexico last year.
Safe bet, right?
Right, yeah, something like that.
But yeah, you're right. New Mexico win, Army win, UNLV likely win. They're sitting at 7-2 at that point. And then who knows versus Nevada, San Diego State, possibly.
So should we move now that you said Nevada? Should we move to Colorado State, Nevada?
Oh, that game. Wolfpack.
Oh my goodness.
Wolfpack, can you play a complete game for once?
No, I'm almost convinced that's impossible. This game was 31-10 at the end of the third quarter.
This game what?
I feel like the only reason why Nevada came back in this game was because Colorado State let them come back.
It makes sense because they couldn't.
And I can't read anything by Chris Murray right now because my Reno Gazette Journal complimentary access is up.
You read your 30 articles already?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. That's why you do. Oh, no, they took it away. I was going to say that's why you do the RSS reader, but they took down that, which I will rant. I'm not an old person for liking an RSS feed. It's convenient and saves time.
Anyway. But yeah, Colorado State just completely. It was 31-3 with almost 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Is it safe? Could this be the possibility? Could there be a wide receiver to win Player of the Year?
Are you talking about Rashard Higgins?
Yeah.
Very possibly.
Outside of playing poorly versus Colorado, 1-for-16, where he still had a touchdown,
we'll talk about this in our midseason awards
show,
but every single player who's probably up for an offensive player of the year right now has had a bad game somewhere. Jay Ajayi, Rashard Higgins. You could throw in Garrett Grayson in there. You could throw in, well, let's not throw in Grant Hendrick's name anywhere.
Harper, maybe, for Utah State, we just mentioned.
Who? Daryl Gertz?
No, Harper. Sharp. Hunter Sharp, I mean, sorry.
Hunter Sharp, definitely. I'll even throw Cody Fajardo in there, but his bad game came against Boise State, but he still managed to try and carry them back into the game.
Yeah, well, Higgins, real quick, has 10 touchdowns on the year and is averaging, I don't have his exact numbers, but probably over 100 yards per game. There's a lot of talent. We'll get to all that, but the Rams, geez, they look so good. We're going to score. You can't stop this. We're going to have a deep pass to Higgins, who was wide open.
So good against everybody and then looked so poor against Boise State. Was the Boise State game a fluke for Colorado State?
I don't know if something was up with D. Hart because there's two games in a row. There's that stretch where every game outside of that, he's had, let me double check, I think 100 yards per game.
Not quite. No, he didn't have 100 yards per game.
Okay, 90. I was pulling up right now. Yeah, Colorado, 139. Boston College, 137. Tulsa, 143. 90 last night. And he still had a touchdown. UC Davis and Boise State. Well, Boise State had 10 for 16. And then UC Davis, 8 for 38. Average was okay, but I don't know if there's an injury or something, but
I think they just shut them down. They know how to shut down runners for the most part.
No, they do. It could be your point. That could be just their bad game because here's the thing. When that game will – not to backtrack and everything, which is probably more midseason stuff, but they've not been close to beating Boise State ever.
53-3. There's that 50-0 game or something similar to that.
Yeah, there's the first year 35-0 in the first quarter in 2 years ago. There could be some of that, even though new coaching staff and everything is going on, but. And in this game, it's just all Colorado State and Nevada. Geez, they come back versus Boise in the second half. They come back versus Colorado State in the fourth quarter, or really the last 17 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, it's just like, is it because they have the ability to come back, or is it because Colorado State basically figured the game was over and this was almost junk time? Garbage time touchdowns.
I bet they're mixing. You're up 31-3. You're probably mixing in some backups here and there because the depth isn't great in this conference.
Oh, look, D. Hart, Joe Hansley, Jason Oden Jr. I mean, rushers.
They didn't
Xavier
run the ball.
Williams got in. Deontay Gaines, Charles Lovett, and receiving for Colorado State. I think they did. I think you're right. I think they did mix in some third strings. They didn't go or second strings. They didn't go completely second string.
Well, they could in the running game because they're missing Drew. What's his name? Julius is out with the injury. He was out for this game, so Jason Odom surprisingly got two carries. It's all D Hart. That's what they're feeding the whole game. And Grayson did well. Fajardo barely completed 50% of his passes. He's still not accurate enough. Yet he has good receivers like Jericho Richardson, Richie Turner. You got to do something, but they're just getting stuck. Hassan
Henderson.
Yeah, they're just like, they go three and out. They have a super deep drive. They miss, okay, a 50-yard field goal to try to score early. I get that's tough. But they're not doing much of anything. They're just kind of
there.
Yeah, that's it. They're just there on the field. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 three and outs. You can't do that. They had on a ten play drive that only went 37 yards where it ended on downs. They couldn't convert on fourth down. They either have long drives and do nothing, or they putter out. So I don't know what to do with the Bat.
Is Nevada going to have a hard time getting to six wins?
Let's take a quick look. This is something clearly for
at BYU, at Hawaii, at home versus San Diego State, at Air Force, at home versus Fresno State, at UNLV.
I would love if my audio. I'm going to close that up. I hate stupid websites to do that. Sorry. I don't know. I'm probably going to try pretty hard to get go to that BYU Nevada game this weekend because what BYU did versus UCF, BYU started slow, started strong, they got caught up with. They're a team that looked much improved for the backup quarterback having almost a week to practice. So we'll see another week what he has, but they should go bowling. This could be interesting here.
It could be a scenario where, well, let's finish up. Let's finish up the, last game of the night.
Oh, yeah, we're already there.
I was, by the time this game finished, I was maybe halfway through my concert.
Local Hawaii announcers are the best.
Hawaii announcers are the best.
One guy tried to stay professional, but like he had no control over the other guy.
Robert Tekaula.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, probably.
Have you seen the Arby's commercial about the, it was a James Earl Jones talking about that sandwich?
Yeah.
Aloha, cowboy.
So Hawaii wins the Paniolo Trophy, and the way they did it was, you know, they shut down. They lost the turnover battle in this game.
Yeah, they did.
I was very convinced, score checking, that Wyoming was going to just thrash them in the second half because it was 21-10 at halftime.
Well, they had 14-0. They had the Sean Wick good run to that Devin Harris excellent heads up play, 78-yard fumble recovery, which I'm kind of surprised. I guess on Twitter, people, or even maybe in our comment section, and open third, like, oh, that was a clear call. I'm like, it wasn't clear cut. I've seen more clear cut plays not be reviewed than have been reviewed. And this was at least not even a second look. Even say, hold off 5 seconds on the kick. Let's see if this is good or not. Where, who was in there, Taylor Graham, before he broke his foot, was going forward on the pass. His arm was coming up. Knocked out, took it back. That's a huge play there. And I kind of thought, okay, 14-0. Even at 14-10, I'm still fine. They respond 21-10 with a deep pass to Jared Claiborne. Figured, okay, they got it in the bag. I kind of went to bed because it's late. Figured out.
Taylor Graham is out. You know, they're putting Ike Kowalski back in. You didn't think that this was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, Ike Kowalski just decides to actually be a really, really, really good quarterback.
I'm an FBS quarterback, folks.
Yeah, 8 for 9. Okay, that doesn't seem like that much. But look at the yards. 173 yards. That's 19.2 average.
And?
Per attempt.
And what else?
2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, folks.
There you go. As my guy who I'm always on ESPN Hawaii, seems like once a week now with their guy Bobby Rainey, I'm pretty sure he's happy because he's the play-by-play guy as well. I'm pretty sure he's happy at this game. Not just because they won, because Hawaii actually scored touchdowns. No field goals. No going 21-12 versus Colorado. They scored touchdowns in this game, and I'm pretty sure he's happy because of that. And who is Dicornery St. Justy? Who is? Do you know who that is?
Diosome St. Just.
Diosome St. Just.
He is the backup to Stephen Laka. Laka.
So the third string?
Yeah, he is the third string. But notice how, okay, Stephen Laka, 22 carries, 76 yards, fine. Diosome St. Just, 17 carries, 135 yards, 1 touchdown. But look at all these other names. Who's Paris Joas? Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? Who knows?
No.
He all of a sudden.
No, wait. I wish you could see this. I clicked on his name. Question mark. Hometown USA.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Go to ESPN.com. And
click, I'm on ESPN.com.
Click right on now. His name. Click on his name.
Click on his name. Yes. I'm opening up.
I'm putting this in the comments of this show.
Can we please screen cap that?
Done.
Screen. This is going up on a fan shot, folks.
That yes, I'm curious. Like you are clicking to see who these guys are, and again, it's like Anytime USA, and then Keelan Iwaliko,
14 yards. Okay, receiver. That's decent. Keelan Iwaliko, one carry, 11 yards. He's got a touchdown.
Wide receiver.
What position does he play? I'm gonna go ahead and look that up right now.
Wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver. He's a freshman.
He has a position.
He actually has a position.
And Hawaii somehow Justin Bell. They have a fullback on the roster.
Yeah, Justin Vele. Well, I knew he was. I knew it was a fullback because he's actually been active in games. But just
question mark. Oh, that's hilarious. Hawaii's in first place in the West Division, folks.
This is 2001X. Oh, how's this? Scott Harding still being awesome. 5 punts for 243 yards. That's almost a 49-yard average. 3 of those 5 are inside the 20.
And he had a punt return for 4 yards. How did he not rush the ball?
Yeah, how did they not get him in on the rushing action? Well, it's because he's also a wide receiver, not a...
Jet sweep, man. Jet sweep. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he had 3 receptions for 48 yards.
Yeah. I just still crack it up over Parise Joas.
Does Norm Chow have a new offensive scheme that we don't know about that's not the quadrant?
He has nobody left. There is nobody left. Because Higgins is out for the year. I assume with that broken foot, he's out for the year as well. They have nobody else to go to.
On the other hand, I'm going to go back to Wyoming for a sec.
Yeah.
Wyoming, okay, 3-3, 1-1. Sean Wick, still very good.
Mm-hmm.
24 carries, 121 yards. I mean, that's average. That's 5. That's 5 yards a carry. That's a first down every 2 attempts. I think they need to get it. I don't want to say they need to get it to Sean Wick more, but they need to find a scheme where it's not just Sean Wick running, but that they're just as successful as him running as Wells. Because Colby Kirkgaard, 6 carries for minus 24 yards, the longest of 3. I'm guessing that's 5 sacks.
It could be. And what was up with DJ May? 1 for minus 1?
Is this where the bowling pun stop is with a trip to Hawaii?
No, it can't. They had to win this game, right? They have to. Maybe.
Maybe.
I just didn't feel
they play San Jose State next.
It's not for sure, but
Ohio State, Fresno State, Utah State. Yeah, they had to win this game.
Because if you look at the second half, like their drives, geez, they were not. They were getting nothing. Like they had so many short drives. Like right here, late. Let's see, when was this? They're down when it's 14-10. They had drives are just stalling out. Even up 20 after up 21-10, multiple 3 and outs, like 3 straight possessions of punting on three and outs. So it's like, and that allowed Hawaii to come back. Even then, even after that third possession, they're 21-17. Hawaii got a touchdown there. The Keelan Iwaliko, the end around, I'm assuming it was from the wide receiver that ran it in. Wyoming's still not scoring. They're giving the ball up. Getting sacked, they don't go for it on 4th-and-1, even though they're at the Hawaii. Wait, this can't be right. Sorry, I hate it when they put it was down at the 29. I thought it meant.
Can I say something?
Go ahead and say something. I'm floundering here.
With 6 games left in the season, 6 or 7 games left in the season.
Yes,
Hawaii has doubled their win total from last year.
Yes, they have, but. In the second half, Wyoming just couldn't do anything with the ball. They had 2 drives. Looks like they're more than 3 and outs. That's no way to win. That's a good way to lose, too, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a very good way to lose.
But this whole so Hawaii's 2-4. What is there any with Woosley being the? Oh, also, side note. What year do you think Parise Joas is for the question mark guy for Hawaii?
Are you looking this up right now?
I already have it up in front of me. Do you
know? I want to say he's a freshman.
He is not. He is a junior.
He's a junior, and they don't know what he is. What is he listed as?
He's 5'6", 170, running back.
Wait, are you saying that I could be Hawaii's running back?
Are you 5'6", 170?
I'm 5'7", 220.
Fullback, maybe? I don't know. You'd have a shot.
Wait, I could try out for quarterback.
They need it. This is his career stats. First ever game played. First ever rush.
I wonder if he was a walk-on. Like, literally a walk-on into fall camp.
Maybe. I'll need to look into this more, but he's a junior. It mentions his preps. This must be his only year. Yeah, this has to be, because he played football in high school and track. So, yeah, that's probably what it is. He shared a backfield with Jay Jai in high school. That's interesting. He's a power lifter. How are you a 170 power lifter, man?
Dude, really strong arms.
I'm just saying. Okay, let's move on from that. That's just weird. I got that screenshot for later, but what do you expect? Does this game change, in your opinion, at Hawaii at all the rest of the way?
They might be able to pick up a win. Another win.
UNLV.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's look at the standings here. We're at the midway point. We're going to do a midpoint, a mid-season show. I'm just going to go over the standings right now because we're not at the hour mark yet, and we might as well.
Yeah, we're close. We're about 48 minutes. We're good. We've got a few minutes left in the bag.
Okay. So looking at the Mountain Division, you have Utah State sitting at the top, 4-2, 1-0 in conference. Boise State, 2-1, 4-2. Colorado State, 1-1, 5-1. And this is all expected. And then the bottom half, Wyoming, 1-1, 3-3. Air Force, 1-2, 4-2. We actually didn't expect that. New Mexico, 0-2, 2-4. Okay, we expected that. And then you look at the West. Hawaii is currently at the top. 1-0 in conference. Fine. It's one game, but they're still at the top. They won. They're 2-4 overall. Fresno State, 2-1 in conference with that lone loss to UNLV. 3-4. They're sitting at a losing season right now. San Diego State, 2-1. They're sitting at 3-3. San Jose State, 1-1. They're sitting at 2-3. UNLV is 1-2. They're 2-5, which, okay, fine. I think we kind of expected that. Nevada is in last place in the conference, sitting at 1-2 and 3-3.
Did not expect that.
This is ridiculous in the West. Nobody wants to win it.
It could be. Honestly, there's a chance. Why not San Jose State?
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, they lost to Nevada there, 21-10. Again, there's
that chance. Guess what? Nevada is worse than them in terms of conference losses. Yeah,
so. And then you look at the Mountain Division. Even though Colorado State's getting votes in both polls, they have the best record overall. They still don't have any. They could win out and still not win the Mountain Division. They could be 12. It could be 11-1 and not win the Mountain Division.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they could be 11-1 and not win the division behind a 10-2 Boise State team.
Which, all in all, likely, it's very possible that Boise State goes 10-2.
You really think so?
I think so.
Did you know, not to jump ahead quickly, but do you know the early line on this Fresno game versus Boise State?
Oh, God. Let's see here. I'm gonna make a guess. If Fresno State just lost to UNLV and Boise State is at home, I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be an 11-point favorite for Boise State right now.
You're incorrect. 16.5.
Are you kidding me? We're going to watch that one for this week's base to see how it fluctuates. But I don't want to say I'm going to take that, but
that's too many. People are like, well, they just lost, like you said. Did they lost? I'm like, I figured it would open at about maybe 12, like you're
saying. Yeah, see, the last time they were 16.5 point favorites, though, they did cover.
I'm assuming that it'll settle between 12 and probably between 13 and 14.
Probably.
That makes sense. So that's. I just wanted to throw that out there. But I think we're. Anything else we need to add before we wrap up and tell people what we're doing this week? A couple shows?
Okay, let's play a game because we are halfway through the season. Who's making a bowl game?
You want to do that now or you want to do that later?
Well, let me phrase that question. It's not where are they going bowling, it's who is going bowling right now.
Let's do that real quick. Yeah, we'll make some more hard concrete stuff. I would say we have, there's six bowl tie-ins, correct?
Right.
Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force.
I little stuff. He doesn't want to like say anybody from the West.
No, I'm not intentionally, folks. I'm just, I could, I'll go San Diego State. They're 3-3-4. They play Idaho, so yeah.
San Diego State should be up there. Yeah,
yeah. Aztecs should be. That's what's that? Five? Yeah, five.
And Nevada.
We already said maybe not to Nevada. Who does Fresno got the rest of the way real quick?
They play Boise State this week.
They got three wins. They still need to be, maybe. They could be, like you said before we started recording, there could be like multiple teams at 6-6. My four 100, out my guarantees, San Diego State, Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force. Would not be surprised if Fresno State gets bowl eligible, San Jose State's bowl ineligible, and Nevada's bowl eligible.
I'm gonna go ahead and one up you here. Okay.
Hawaii 8-4?
No. So you said San Diego State is a lock, but it's five. I'm gonna go ahead and say San Jose State.
They're only 2-3 right now, so they still have seven games left.
And looking at San Jose State's schedule, they need to win four games out, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a team who, remember, they hold the tiebreaker in the West. They play Wyoming this week, who
maybe
somehow lost, although they go to Wyoming. I'm going to say they win at Wyoming. Navy, they play at Navy. That's going to be a little tougher. Colorado State, Fresno State, I think they can beat Fresno State and San Diego State, just like how they did last year.
Even though those are both road games?
Even though those are both road games, and I think they can beat Hawaii. They'll definitely beat one of the other Cal State schools.
Okay.
So maybe not both, but definitely one.
I could see one, two. Like, is what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to split Wyoming, Navy, that's three. Split Fresno, Utah State, four. Beat Hawaii. I don't know. No, they have to beat Navy. Navy, they have to beat Wyoming and Navy to get there.
Yeah, I think that's very possible.
It's possible. Navy's Keenan Reynolds is a pretty good quarterback. It's on the road. It's an early
Look at the teams who they've lost against so far. Okay.
For the Spartans?
Yeah, the Spartans. Okay, they lost to Nevada. In a game, they probably, it looks, the scoreboard says they got dominated. They really didn't get dominated by that much.
Pick six.
They were up 10-7 for quite a bit of that game.
And both they touchdowns, lost. Well, real quick, both touchdowns came in the fourth quarter with one of pick six.
Exactly. They got blown out by Auburn. That's number six or seventh in the nation, you know, top team. They lost to Minnesota. Minnesota, who's actually sitting at 5-1 right now.
Are they leading the Big Ten West?
They are leading. Is it Legends or Leaders?
No, they changed it to East and West. They are tied.
That's right. They are leading the West Division in the Big Ten.
With Iowa. They're tied at 2-0.
Yeah. So they've lost to some reasonably good teams. It's like exactly how we said with Wyoming. Wyoming, up to the loss versus Hawaii, had lost against two teams ranked in the top 25. They got blown out, but they had, you know, those were still, in terms of strength of teams that they lost to, it goes to that. San Jose State, similar. Once again, the loss to Nevada, fairly questioning.
Close.
But the blowout versus UNLV the week after, I mean, it just kind of makes me think that they could totally do it. Seeing as Navy has kind of lost very much to some questionable teams, Navy is sitting at 3-4 right now, and they've lost to, lost to Ohio State, lost to Rutgers, lost to Western Kentucky.
And Air Force. And they played VMI this last week.
Yeah, so FCS team, they blew them out. I think that's a team that they should be able to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into all this later. I think they're San Jose State. They're a fringe bowl team. I hate saying I don't know anything about them, but there's still a lot to with the way Nevada's playing. I still want to see them play another game. Just where
you
they're at.
You'd like to see Nevada play a complete game?
No, San Jose State, another game with them. Because they've played pretty close versus Nevada, but they've played some pretty good teams that they lost to. Like, Minnesota's better than we thought. Auburn's really good. And they had a chance versus Minnesota, if not for a terrible screen pick six, whatever. Not pick six, but the led to points, I should say. Not that they would have won, but there's chances there. That could have been a much closer game.
Here's a question for you. What's the probability that the top five out of the 16 in the Mountain Division go bowling?
Who do you consider the current? So everybody minus New Mexico?
Yeah.
Had Wyoming won, I would have given very good odds in that case. But the loss makes it very difficult.
I think you're right.
Four of the six should. If Wyoming was 4-2, let's just say they didn't choke to the guy with the question mark on his roster. I would have given Wyoming a very good chance to go bowling had they not lost that game. Because now, like, the San Jose State game is still a toss-up game. Like, even though we think the Spartans could win, they'd be sitting at 4-2. All they'd have to do is beat New Mexico and somebody else. Now, they still have to go to Colorado State, play Utah State, play Boise State, and travel to Fresno State. Which, maybe Fresno, they're going to beat New Mexico. If they can beat Fresno and San Jose State, yeah, but it's going to be come down to that final game, but they're probably going to be sitting at 4-6 or 4-7 going into the final game versus New Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like every year for Wyoming, they start off good, then they fade down the stretch. And in this case, it's mostly because of schedule. And choking and just screwing up against Hawaii. Ugh. Hawaii. All right, anything else we need to add? Are we good?
I think so.
Do we need to talk about Kevin Durant breaking his foot? Oh, wait, that's a different sport.
No, let's not.
It's the NBA. That's crazy. Okay, here's what we're doing, folks. This is, again, the one-hour show, five games. We're cool with that. What we're doing, we're planning to have our mid-season award show. Even though somebody requested suit and tie, I'm not going to go that route. We'll just record audio only, I'm assuming, right?
I guess.
Well, listen, do you want to?
I'm fine with it.
To be determined, we'll see what we'll do. We'll see if we'll do. That will be likely recording Thursday, so it'll be up Friday. So hopefully it stays fresh during the weekend, which it should, since it's all the midseason stuff. So look for that. And that's, sometimes Thursday. We'll let people know if it's live or not live or whatever we do. It'll be evening hours, late night affair, most likely, when we're free to both record. And, check us out, MWCConnection.com. Oh, we forgot our obligatory Greek Padre Twitter watch. What are you at?
390.
390?
Yep.
People, give him a follow. I know the frequency of Twittering from that account is not like what I do, where it's like a tweet a minute. Give him a follow. We will, what will we do if somebody gets the person who gets the 400 followers? Do we need to think of something?
I don't know.
A high five? Virtual high five? A Bitcoin?
Virtual high five.
Can we give somebody one Bitcoin? Is that possible?
Is that worth a ticket to the St. Petersburg Bowl?
Maybe. I don't know what the deal is on that. But, yeah, give him a follow. Give us a follow. MWC Connection. Like I said, check us at MWCConnection.com. We have all our stuff. Basketball's coming up soon, so look out for that type of stuff. And, check us out. Preview this week. We have multiple shows. So iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud. Stay tuned into all those. Get your RSS feeder in line, your podcast subscribe thingy you use. Whatever you do to listen to the show, keep an eye on that feed, and we'll see everybody in the next couple of days.